You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today, we do not know what they want. They do not know themselves what they really want.
I've been wondering what that special place in hell looks like for those who promoted Brexit without even a sketch of a plan how to carry it.
Brexit means Brexit.
To Wire.
On the 31st of January, which is this Friday, the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland will officially leave the European Union. This has been a long 3 years since the referendum in 2016 to decide the UK's membership in the EU, following three prime ministers, two resignations, two general elections, and a divided country.
3 years ago, I committed to the British people that I would renegotiate our position in the European Union and hold an in-out referendum. Now I'm delivering on that commitment. You will decide, and whatever your decision, I will do my best to deliver it. On Monday, I will commence the process set out under our Referendum Act, and I will go to Parliament and propose that the British people decide our future in Europe through an in-out referendum on Thursday, the 23rd of June.
That was David Cameron in 2016 announcing a new referendum for the UK on its membership in the European Union. The referendum, which eventually held in June that year, divided the nation across political parties, communities, and even families. But the biggest of those was a split in the Conservative Party between Prime Minister Cameron and then London Mayor Boris Johnson. While Cameron supported to remain in the EU, Johnson campaigned against it.
Also gives us strength in the world. We aren't any old country. We are a special country, one whose language, whose values, whose influence is felt the world over. If I felt that remaining in the European Union diminished us, I would recommend that we voted to leave. But it doesn't. It amplifies our power. When we're in these organizations, we become an even bigger force in the world, with a bigger influence in the world.
I would like to see a new relationship based more on trade, on cooperation, but as I say, with much less of this supranational element. So that's where I'm coming from, and that's why I've decided after a huge amount of heartache, because I did not want to do anything. The last thing I wanted was to go against David Cameron or the government. But after a great deal of heartache, I don't think there's anything else I can do. I will be advocating vote leave or whatever the team is called. I understand there are many of them. I think that is basically because I want a better deal for the people of this country, to save them money and to take back control. That's really, I think, what this is all about.
Eventually, Cameron's gamble failed on June 23rd when the UK voted to leave the EU by 52-48%. While England and Wales voted to leave, Northern Ireland voted to remain by 56-44%, and Scotland also voted overwhelmingly to remain by 62-38%. After his failure to get the UK to remain within the EU, Cameron resigned.
I was absolutely clear about my belief that Britain is stronger, safer and better off inside the European Union. And I made clear the referendum was about this and this alone, not the future of any single politician, including myself. But the British people have made a very clear decision to take a different path. And as such, I think the country requires fresh leadership to take it in this direction. I will do everything I can as Prime Minister to steady the ship over the coming weeks and months. But I do not think it would be right for me to try to be the captain that steers our country to its next destination. This is not a decision I've taken lightly, but I do believe it's in the national interest to have a period of stability and then the new leadership required.
He was succeeded by the Home Secretary and fellow Remainer, Theresa May.
Following the referendum, we face a time of great national change. And I know, because we're Great Britain, that we will rise to the challenge. As we leave the European Union, we will forge a bold new positive role for ourselves in the world. And together, we will build a better Britain.
May later started to outline plans for the UK to leave the EU, starting by announcing Britain will leave the European Single Market and Customs Union.
We are leaving the European Union, but we are not leaving Europe. And that is why we seek a new and equal partnership between an independent, self-governing global Britain and our friends and allies in the EU. Not partial membership of the European Union, associate membership of the European Union, or anything that leaves us half in, half out. We do not seek to adopt a model already enjoyed by other countries. We do not seek to hold on to bits of membership as we leave. No, the United Kingdom is leaving the European Union, and my job is to get the right deal for Britain as we do.
And in April the following year, May called a general election in hopes to increase her majority in the House of Commons. This gamble went horribly wrong, as the Conservatives lost 13 seats and a majority altogether, and May was forced to form a confidence and supply deal with the Northern Irish Democratic Unionist Party. In July 2018, the UK and the EU agreed the blueprint for their future relationship, which commits both sides to a backstop, which would keep the UK in the customs union indefinitely in the absence of another way of avoiding a hard border in the Isle of Ireland. It also agreed a common rulebook, which maintains some EU standards on areas like chemicals, emissions, pharmaceuticals, and food safety to allow frictionless trade after Brexit. Brexiteers are furious about this direction, claiming it still gives the EU much control over British policy. Johnson resigned in protest as the Foreign Secretary in July 2018, with Brexit Minister David Davis following suit.
We are now proposing to use the same rulebook, or the same laws, really, as the European Union. Not equivalent, not similar, but the same. And that will provide all sorts of problems when it comes to if we want to diverge, do something different. So the return of control to Parliament is more illusory than it is real. Secondly, the customs arrangements mean we'll be collecting taxes, effectively tariffs, for the European Union. They are bound to insist on the European Court having a say in that, and that will be a problem in terms of bringing back control of our laws again and our borders. And thirdly, the tactic, I'm worried that what the European Union will do is simply take what we've offered and ask for more or wait for more. And I think it's got to be a time when we get a bit tougher with them, and this should have been the time.
When May announced her withdrawal agreement in November, which required the UK to pay a financial settlement or the divorce bill of £39 billion over a number of years, and controversially, if no long-term trade deal has been agreed by that avoids a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, Northern Ireland will be in a deeper customs relationship with the EU than the rest of the UK. It will also be more closely aligned with the rules and regulations of the EU single market. In response to that, Brexiteer ministers in May's cabinet, such as Brexit Minister Dominic Raab and Works and Pensions Minister Esther McVeigh, resigned afterwards, with Raab saying he, quote, cannot in good conscience support the deal, while McVeigh attacked the deal have failed to honour the result of the referendum. Despite fending off a vote of no confidence in her Conservative leadership at the end of 2018, after three failed votes at the House of Commons to get the withdrawal agreement passed, May was forced to ask Brussels twice in 2019 for a Brexit extension from March 29th to April 12th, then to the 31st of October. Then she finally fell onto her own sword and resigned in May, replaced by Boris Johnson.
I have done everything I can to convince MPs to back that deal. Sadly, I have not been able to do so. I tried three times. I believe it was right to persevere, even when the odds against success seemed high. But it is now clear to me that it is in the best interests of the country for a new Prime Minister to lead that effort. So I am today announcing that I will resign as leader of the Conservative and Unionist Party on Friday the 7th of June. It is and will always remain a matter of deep regret to me that I have not been able to deliver Brexit. It will be for my successor to seek a way forward that honours the result of the referendum. To succeed, he or she will have to find consensus in Parliament where I have not. Such a consensus can only be reached if those on all sides of the debate are willing to compromise.
And then this from the leader, criticised for always hiding emotion.
I will shortly leave the job that it has been the honour of my life to hold. The second female Prime Minister, but certainly not the last. I do so with no ill will, but with enormous and enduring gratitude to have had the opportunity to serve the country I love.
After being appointed as Prime Minister in July, Johnson insisted that Britain will leave the EU on the 31st of October, quote-unquote, do or die. Initially hoping to force the UK to leave the EU regardless of having a deal, Johnson prorogued Parliament in September for an unusually long five-week period. It was later overturned by the Supreme Court as unconstitutional. Commons responded by approving a motion moved by Labour's Hilary Benn, ruling out a no-deal Brexit. 21 Conservative MPs are thrown out of the party by Johnson for supporting it. In October, Johnson agreed a revised withdrawal agreement with Brussels, of which Northern Ireland will only be aligned to the EU single market, but it will remain in the UK's customs union, meaning that tariffs will not be applied on goods entering Northern Ireland from the UK, as long as they are not being transported across the border to the Republic of Ireland. Commons later called for a general election in December, which the Conservative Party won its largest majority since the 1980s by campaigning to, quote, get Brexit done, seeing off other parties such as Labour, who are proposing for a second referendum, and the Liberal Democrats, who wanted to revoke Brexit altogether. And at the start of this month, MPs have given their final backing to the bill that will implement the Brexit deal after the Commons voted 330 to 231 in favour of the withdrawal agreement. Since then, it has been given broad assent and passed into law, meaning that the UK will definitely leave the European Union on the 31st of January.
The French, for instance, love the cock.
You're tuned into The Wire.
At 11pm on the 31st of January 2020, the UK will officially leave the European Union and cease to be a member state. Under the terms of the withdrawal agreement, the UK will then enter a transitional period during which time the UK will still abide by EU rules despite no longer being a member. So what does that mean? It means it will allow businesses and the government to prepare and adjust to new post-Brexit arrangements, and was designed to prevent a sudden change to trade rules, laws, immigration and regulations which could have caused significant damage to both the UK and the EU. This included EU citizens arriving in the UK and UK citizens arriving in the EU and enjoy the same freedom of movement. The UK will still be part of existing EU trade deals but will be able to negotiate further trade deals. The UK will remain in the customs union and single market, so it will be subject to EU regulations. Security cooperation will continue between the UK and Brussels, and London will still be subject to EU law and the rulings of the European Court of Justice. And that means there will be officially no After the 31st of January, it will also mean there will be officially no UK representation in the EU. That means no English members of the European Parliament in the European Parliament where EU law is approved, and there will be also no UK commissioners in the European Commission, and UK ministers will no longer attend meetings of the European Council where European policy is forged. And this transition period is currently scheduled to end on the 31st of December this year, but that can be extended to 2 years. But after that, at the end of the transition period, this relationship will be shaped by whatever has been agreed for the next 11 months, because the transition could also be used by the UK and the EU to agree on what the future trade agreement and relationship between the two sides look like. Boris Johnson has indicated he would prefer a relatively loose free trade agreement that would see the UK leave the single market and customs union altogether. But if a deal is not reached on the time that the UK would the UK would resort back to international conventions for security and trade on World Trade Organization terms, which is very similar to the terms of so-called quote-unquote no-deal Brexit. but the Irish question. Northern Ireland, however, will be an exception to this World Trade Organization terms, as its goods trading relationship with the EU will be covered by the provisions in the Northern Ireland Protocol that has been outlined in the withdrawal agreement. In terms of law, the UK would still be able to diverge from EU rules at the end of the transition period and would no longer be obliged to follow EU law. And under the withdrawal agreement, citizens' rights would continue to be protected even there is still, if there isn't a deal.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.